Adam, good morning. Once again, a beautiful morning in Cleveland, Ohio.
That's it. We're on the right side of the grass. It always makes it for a beautiful morning, Jack.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It, you know, makes you want to be an entrepreneur, doesn't it?
Lots of things do, Jack. Lots of the craziness makes you want to do that, too.
Yeah, we like to talk about small business and entrepreneurism and owners of small businesses. And it's since we've been doing this for almost 20 years, we find that these entrepreneurs come in all colors and sizes and packages, and you don't know what you're going to get when somebody breaks through and all of a sudden becomes well known. Usually they start with humble beginnings and something that isn't necessarily put on one page of academia, in which, you know, these kinds of things, starting an entrepreneur or starting a business basically by somebody, they haven't pinned it down because it's a very elusive bunch of characteristics. And every once in a while, we sort of jump out of the coaching and talk about this stuff. What makes a good entrepreneur? How do they become successful? What does a successful entrepreneur even look like? You know, what's the, are they over 6 foot, do you think?
Sometimes. Like you said, they come in different shapes, sizes, and all that kind of stuff, too. It's, well, part of it is trying to recognize this stuff as well, Jack. It's one of those things that we find, at least in our culture, it's not necessarily encouraged or talked about too much. It may be brought up here or there, or as you're going through some schooling, there might be a few entrepreneurial classes here or there, but we find most of those are geared towards folks who have some ideas. They got the, you know, have an idea for the latest, new, greatest technology here or there, or some other idea. And, you know, people may think about folks like Bill Gates or Steve Jobs as, you know, a prototypical kind of entrepreneur. And while those kind of folks who have been, you know, inventing stuff or creating stuff since a very young age are definitely some of the entrepreneurs, most take some different, maybe a more circuitous path to entrepreneurship. And so one of the things I've been going through is a little branding course with one of the podcasters I listen to a lot, a guy by the name of Jason Stapleton. And one of the exercises they had us do was something he calls the origin story, and kind of going back, and it covers everything from, you know, your parents and their upbringing and how many siblings they have to how many you have and where you grew up and all that kind of stuff. And basically kind of, you know, just going through how you got to this point in your life. And one of the things that jumped out was I was going through my work history, and it just kind of got me to thinking, you know, can you kind of spot a budding entrepreneur? And as I was looking at things that I was doing and choices I was making, certainly from an early age, just the types of work I was doing, Jack, or things that were interesting to me. You know, they had more of an entrepreneurial bent. And, you know, it starts with everything from my first job as a caddy, you know, where, again, as a caddy, you know, you kind of come and go as you please to a certain extent, right? In terms of, it's not like you're locked into a certain number of hours. You know, your base pay is what it is, but there's a certain meritocracy. And if you do well and you perform well, you get paid more. You know, those kind of things are some of the things that, you know, at a very young age were very meaningful to me. And many of the folks I caddied for were folks who were entrepreneurs who had their own business. And the way they talked and the way that they did things was different from the folks who had jobs and worked for somebody else. And their, you know, their views on the world was very, very different. And so as I was looking back, you know, starting with just that in terms of just kind of the types of jobs and things that were attracted to me. Now, much like you, I've tried having what I call a regular job, Jack, right, in corporate America. And I tried that right after I graduated from college, but never quite fit. And even during that, it was very entrepreneurish. You know, I've told the story a little bit. The folks here on the show, when I was in New York as an investment banker, the second firm I worked for, which was an entrepreneurial firm, very entrepreneurial firm, got bought by the Bank of New York. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Bank of New York, it was started by a guy you probably know named Alexander Hamilton, right? It was the first bank in the country, going back to the late 1700s. So not necessarily an entrepreneurish feel, Jack. You know, a couple hundred year old institution has a different feel to it versus entrepreneurs. But one of the things that I did at a very young age, at the ripe age of 27, is I moved from New York back to the Cleveland area, and I set up an office for him in Cleveland. And I did that because I was, my mother-in-law had some health issues that kind of caused us to move back here. And I divided my time between New York and Cleveland. And so I'd spend, you know, Monday through Wednesday, maybe in New York, and then the rest of the week here in Cleveland. And that was as technology is kind of starting to take off with laptops and cell phones and that kind of stuff. But you know, who in their mid 20s goes to a big institution and says, "Hey, I'm going to move to a different location, but I'd like you guys to help me set up an office there and fly me back and forth every week," right? Who thinks of those kind of things? Is that a normal way of thinking about stuff, Jack, or is that a different way of thinking about stuff, right? So it's those kind
of things. I don't think that's normal.
Right. Yeah. So it's those kind of things. As I started to kind of go through it, it started to get me to kind of think about that question in terms of how do you kind of spot this budding entrepreneur? You know, what does it look like? You know, is there one path? And again, part of what we're trying to do here, obviously, Jack, is we're talking to our audience here. We have an audience full of folks who already have their own companies. We have many folks in the audience who maybe don't have their company yet, Jack, and they're trying to think about, well, hey, is that me, right? You know, maybe they don't realize or see themselves as like a Steve Jobs or let's say a Jeff Bezos type person, but that's okay. That's not necessarily what you have to be to become an entrepreneur.
What do you have to be? Do we know?
Well, again,
I'm looking at a couple of definitions here while we're talking. I'm curious to see what the literary, the journalistic, what do we call that category of entrepreneur? Talking about an entrepreneur means talking about a person with great innovating ideas and identities and identifies the need for and creation of a business to fill a void. That kind of do it? I don't think so.
sounds too stuffy.
It does. And it doesn't go deep into the heart of stuff where you just say, let's do it, and you do it. It you know, could be starting a company. It could be buying a company. Any, you know, number of ways that you can end up being an entrepreneur. You can, you know. As I'm looking this up, I'm thinking, when did the word job start to come in and be such a defining three-letter word? It just dominates the talk of economics and so many things, so many social situations just require that word job, or don't require it, but it's used to where it's so comfortably embedded in our system now that it's difficult for people to think beyond that, having a job. It seems like 90% of the population thinks only in terms of a job, and they don't challenge themselves nor let the thought come through that they could be an entrepreneur, somebody who starts a company, takes an idea and actually monetizes it somewhere down the line. So, you know, job, the word job's a big blocker. What if, think of a world, think for just 15 seconds here. What if the world never was introduced to the word job? So these millions and millions of people who have jobs, generally complaining about them, basically didn't have that word to use. Look at what a blocker that word job is. It doesn't even allow the majority of people, millions and millions and millions of people, to talk about starting something out of necessity, if you will. And they could do it if they tried, especially experienced people in some form or another. You know, I've been in the work world for 10 or 15 years. They could, you know, hordes of them could move into this entrepreneurial world because they'd have to eventually. But think of a world, no job. You got to call it something else. And if you start calling it something else, you're going to think of some individual responsibilities and skills. Eventually, you got to conclude that. So that's what we should do. Start a movement with eliminating the word job, not Steve Jobs, but the jobs that you work with or right. work of or work for or define.
Well, I think as you look at entrepreneurs and what they like to do is they like to create their own opportunities. I think that's part of it. You know, to your point, whether it's getting something started, it's adding a new, if you already have a business, it's adding a new product or service to that business. It's the ability to kind of make things happen is a big part of this stuff. And, part of the desire is, you know, people will say, you know, kind of controlling their own schedule. You're probably going back to what does a job look like? Well, a job, you aren't controlling your schedule per se. You're supposed to show up at, you know, time A and leave at time B, and you have somebody kind of overseeing you. One of the realizations that came to me was, you know, I work my butt off anyway. Well, why should I work my butt off for somebody else versus working for myself? And kind of having that confidence to start to kind of do that and to kind of, you know, make your own way. But to your point with the job, I guess the job ties to the paycheck, doesn't it, Jack?
Yes.
That's kind of what seems to hold people back, tie them down, whatever phrase you might want to use. But those are incompatible. And so for people to think about, well, hey, if that paycheck stops coming in, what do I do? What do I do to make money, to earn a living? You know,
and typically all they have in their tank is thinking about another job somewhere. Without the how in the world, Adam, how the hell could I ever do anything other than look for a job? Don't give me that entrepreneur stuff. I don't know how to do any of that. I'm a job guy.
You might be. Yeah, right. Yeah, well, some people are job guys. So, yeah, I don't think we're saying everybody's an entrepreneur or budding entrepreneur, Jack. I'm saying, how do you identify those folks, though, that, you know, that maybe they're fighting through and slogging through that job world and saying, hey, again, you know, the only entrepreneur stuff that's talked about is if I have these wonderful ideas for the latest, greatest product. Well, there are a lot of other entrepreneurs that are there that are under the surface that maybe don't recognize that they're entrepreneurs, right? So maybe they are frustrated with that job mentality of, hey, you know, I'm putting a lot of effort in doing stuff and I'm not necessarily being rewarded. I mean, how many of our clients we've talked to, Jack, that had worked for other people and they were so frustrated, hey, you know, I work for somebody else and I made them a bunch of money. And I got a pat in the head and kind of sent along my way. You know, now again, I got paid for that, you know, for my job, right? But, you know, the true wealth and value creation wasn't necessarily recognized by them. It was by somebody else now, right? So many folks, you know, start to see this. Hey, how do I do that for myself? If I'm putting all this work and effort in, how do I do that for myself to where I'm able to create that value and realize that value for myself? And so, you know, if that's how you start to think about stuff, if those kind of thoughts are kind of going through your mind, I think that's a good sign that there might be some, you know, some entrepreneurship in you. You know, again, go back to look at, you know, how have you progressed in your life? So, you know, one of the jobs I had was I worked for a stockbroker for a summer. You know, during my junior year of college, I discovered this whole, you know, finance field. You know, I've always liked numbers, as you and the folks who know me well, Jack, know that, you know, I'm a big numbers guy. And I thought originally I'd be more marketing, you know, given where my family was, but I really liked the numbers part of it. And so then investigating, you know, careers, you know, in finance, one of the things that came up was a stockbroker. And so I created my own job, you know, the one summer between junior and senior year, you know? So what, you know, I went through an alumni directory for the University of Michigan. And I went through that and started calling some folks who were stockbrokers. I called one guy and I explained to him, hey, I'm a junior here in Michigan. I'm looking to maybe, you know, have a career as a stockbroker. Do you have anything for me? And he was impressed with, as I called him, he said, well, I don't have anything yet, but let's kind of meet. And so I came back in town, you know, a couple weeks later, we met and hit it off, and he decided to hire me for the summer. So here I created a position for myself, Jack, that didn't exist based on, you know, me wanting to kind of do something. And now, obviously, I didn't become a stockbroker, Jack, right? You know, I spent the summer doing 300 phone calls a day, as we talk about smiling and dialing. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot of things that summer about kind of what that career looks like, and realized that it really wasn't what I wanted to do. But again,
I don't blame you.
But I was able to create an opportunity and kind of check that out. And that led me to then going to investment banking afterwards. And when I was going to investment banking, you know, one of the beauties of a place like Michigan is that we were very good about bringing in people for recruiters. So we had a number what they call the white shoe firms from Wall Street, you know, the JP Morgans and the Morgan Stanleys of the world and the Goldman Sachs of the world. And I'd interview with these folks and they all looked and sounded the same, Jack. you know, they had their white shirts on and their starched shirts and their ties and their suits, and they all kind of looked and sounded the same. And then I met this company called Bear Stearns, and everybody I met there was different, you know, kind of, they were unique and they were kind of themselves, and they were comfortable being themselves. And it was pretty attractive to me to say, hey, you know, here's a place where, because I didn't quite fit that white shoe, kind of, the, you know, that suit and tie kind of, you know, feel. That just wasn't me. And so everybody I met during that process, I probably met 10 or 12 people, you know, at Bear through that process. And everyone was very different. That was very attractive to me. And so that's one of being the place I went to go work for, because, again, and I didn't maybe recognize it in the moment, Jack, but again, you start to kind of look back and say, well, what was, you know, why did I do what I did, right? Again, as you often will say, when people ask you, well, why did you leave corporate America, Jack? You say, well, I can give them an answer, but, you know, it's an answer, you know, 30 or 40 years later that, you know, I've kind of thought about that, you know, in the moment, and maybe, you know, it wasn't necessarily the answer then, but it's more the answer upon reflection of stuff. And so part of the message that we want to get out today is just kind of to think, okay, well, does that fit for you? Are you kind of that maybe budding entrepreneur in terms of the kind of stuff that you were doing? And if you think about kind of the path you've taken, maybe it's not you, maybe it's somebody that you know, maybe it's a sibling, maybe it's a, you know, a friend or a child of yours, as you kind of look, whatever it might be, but, you know, to start to kind of identify and start to encourage the entrepreneurship. That's part of what I think is missing, Jack. It's again, they go back to that job board. So many folks are tied to that and they push towards that versus, hey, give them a push off the ledge, kind of go do your own thing. Most people don't push them. They usually kind of, what are you, crazy? They're great. You know, don't take that jump. What's wrong with you? Don't leave that job, that security, that paycheck. And that never resonated to me, Jack. It really didn't.
And I don't think it does to most entrepreneurial types. It doesn't. I mean, it's you get a little taste of it and they should, the entrepreneurial type will generally shun it, generally. You know how to swim, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you recall learning how to swim? You've probably seen parents. You've probably done it yourself with your kids.
Right.
So do they come up to a pool and just run in there willy nilly, and first time they see the pool, they jump into it?
Not usually.
Not usually. They stick their toe into it, and even that might be a crisis for them to do. But they keep gradually moving until they get in. I think most people basically look at breaking away from the job mentality and the job structure and running their own place. How many people have we talked to and coached that, you know, had that kind of start? They just couldn't, they can't say not take it anymore, but they finally got the nerve to jump in. And the quicker you do that, the better it is relative to making the conversion from job to entrepreneur. And it's a scary thought. It's probably one of the more scary thoughts in your life for most people. So they tend not to do it, and all of a sudden they're too old to do it. Well, I guess you're never too old to do it, but you know what I mean by that.
Right.
So what is that, you know, how do you make that conversion? I don't know how you make it other than to jump in the water. The sooner you jump in, the better. And you'll be surprised at what you can do, especially if you have to, or in some cases, if you, you know, you can afford to, that's okay. You're pretty good. You got skills that you don't even know you have. But if you put it full time in terms of trying to move away from a job and do something more creative to earn your living, nothing like it. You know, all of a sudden, hey, where has this been all my life? Well, it's been right there. You just never jumped in.
Yeah, so being able to kind of recognize that in yourself or others is a big deal, because it's not, you know, again, it's are entrepreneurs born or are they made? And I can't answer that because I was kind of born into it. You know, my parents started a company. I was like 3 years old, Jack. So it's kind of, that's kind of what I know. You know, the idea of doing your own thing has always been part of my world. So it's not foreign like it is, I think, for many people that didn't kind of grow up with folks who had their own business. And so I don't know if you're born or
it's, I don't think you are born. I don't think you are born. I think go back to the beginning of our show here. What if the word job didn't exist? know, and we crafted together some good definition of an entrepreneur. That's what you'd be. You wouldn't be a job person. It's stymied a lot of creativity in this, in the history of the work world. And yeah, everyone isn't built for becoming an entrepreneur. But if you had to, you would. You aren't going to sit on a rock and die. You're going to find something to do. And by God, you're turning over rocks now, and all of a sudden something happens.
Just hoping that rock doesn't fall on you. Crawling out under from rock, under rocks. We get all kinds of different rock analogies.
Oh, that's, that's right.
Well, it's part of is again, we want to kind of help people kind of recognize or see it in themselves. And if you have some of those things where, again, if, you know, to your point, Jack, people often get to that point in their career and they've tried maybe different jobs or different companies. And then they kind of say, well, is that it? Is that all that's there? Okay. So if you're starting to have some of those thoughts, well, no, that's not all there, but that may be all there is in the job world. Yeah, but there's another that dark side. Kind of, you know, come over here to be, you know, to more of the entrepreneurial way, Jack. Right? That's kind of what we're talking about here, just to kind of recognize that and to have that confidence that you can kind of step out and do those things and scratch that itch, so to speak, kind of feeling for a while that maybe you've been kind of ignoring and it hasn't been fed and nurtured like it should, and so. Yeah, what would that first step be? It could be something different. Yeah, there's a lot of folks who often start a business on the side. They moonlight stuff, Jack, right? So, hey, they're working their day job and they start doing something on the side. So something like that's often a way people get started. And so if you have some ideas about that or things that are there, look for those opportunities in terms of what's happening. Now you can spend some of your nights and weekends working on that piece of it and see what it's like. And you have a chance to kind of try it out while you're still kind of on that fence, straddling the two between that job side and the thing. And you have a sense for it. And if you start to have some luck, you may say, hey, this is more fun. I'd rather kind of do this. And okay. Or you may say, this is not for me. This has been kind of a pain in the butt. I didn't realize all these things that were involved in this, Jack. Right. Okay. But now you've done it. You haven't launched your security blanket there at the job. You know, the kind of worry about it. So there's lots of paths to get there, Jack. Lots of paths to get there. So the question is, what path are you on, and how do you recognize it, either in yourself or those folks around you? That's part of what we encourage folks to do a lot. A lot of folks that we meet are wrestling with these ideas and these thoughts, Jack, and they aren't quite sure what to do. And it's pretty normal, but again, it's often not necessarily talked about, or folks that they talk to about it aren't encouraging it or haven't been through it themselves. So it's, you know, if you're talking to a job person about entrepreneur stuff,
what's not going to be
right.
That's right. You're not going to get too much info that's new and exciting and inspirational for you.
That's right. So try to recognize these things, not only in yourself, but those around you. I think that's a way for us to help kind of encourage more entrepreneurship, Jack, and kind of, you know, and realize, again, it doesn't look a certain way. There's lots of different things that it could look like. And so
very much so. You know, that's right.
Just because you weren't the person doing your own paper out at 10 years old doesn't mean that you aren't a budding entrepreneur, right? There are lots of other things that are out there to kind of look at and to kind of see for it. So.
Good. Well. So this is a short version today.
Well, I want to kind of touch it very highlight. We got a lot of more stories and things to share that we'll do in future episodes, Jack.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's just a little bit about kind of what does it look like to be a budding entrepreneur. All right. And I appreciate you listening to our show here, Dirty Secrets of Small Business. As you know, we do this every week. We usually have a new show every Thursday that we drop. If you missed any of our prior shows, you can get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. There's also a Facebook page by the same name. Better yet, if you have a smart device of some type and kind, go to whatever your favorite podcast player might be, whether it be Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and you can subscribe there for Dirty Secrets of Small Business. And if you like the show, please leave a comment. Would love to hear that. If you have some other questions or thoughts or feedback for us, you can email us at radio@maximumvp.com, or you can give us a call at 877-849-0670. Be sure to tune in next week when we're going to discuss in a positive way something maybe people are tired of hearing about. We're going to talk about COVID-19, Jack, but we're going to talk about it from the standpoint of some of the positive impacts that this pandemic has had for business.
And good subject. It's a very good subject.
It's one of those things. It's time. You know, we're 15 months into this thing, Jack. It's time to start. That's, again, there's a lot of good stuff what are we doing to kind of bring with us, kind of coming out of this stuff? And we'll kind of share some of the things that we're seeing out there, but, you know, give you, you know, some time here to think about what are some of the positive things you've seen in business, you know, due to this pandemic that you're going to take with you going forward. So we'll be covering that topic next week.
Very good.
So okay. Thanks for listening. It's been great talking with you, and we'll talk with you all next week.
See you around.